This morning, I need to, number one, thank some different individuals who have been in this pulpit for the last 3 weeks. The Teen Challenge, who came and blessed us with their song and their testimony. Jeff and Deanna, who also came on July 6th and blessed us both in song and with the Word of God. And then Donnie Golden last week, who I personally got to hear. Donnie, a fellow workmate of mine in the days of beginning in ministry, and what a great job he did in giving us things to think about and the wells that we might come across in our life, and what a great response last week to the Spirit of God and His Word. And all for the glory of God. I want to thank all those people because it has given me the rest and rejuvenation that I've needed on taking a nice brief vacation and the first week going back to our National Convention of the Church of God, which this year, instead of being in Anderson, Indiana, was held in Oklahoma City. And the whole subject of the convention is Jesus is the subject. He's the noun. We are His adjectives. We describe to others around us who Jesus is. And it was just a wonderful topic to be given to us for that week. And I had some great moments of pleasure in being able to connect up with some people that I had known in my past. Basically, Ron, Carolyn, and Sandy Patty, for one. I got Ron and Carolyn's photo and got to hug them, and we just talked, and they almost collapsed on the floor when they found out I was a pastor. And Sandy got a good chuckle out of it as well. And then I was also privileged to meet Sherman Andrus of Andrus and Blackwood Brothers, who used to be a singing duet and had the privilege even of singing a little bit with him. Just out in the foyer, I broke into one of his songs that he and Blackwood used to do together, and we had a good little time out there, a little hallelujah time to the Lord. So, and great to hear what the message of the Church of God International is about, and I'll further elaborate in other sermons, but I just want you to understand and get the flavor of what Church of God is going to be about, what is our focus going into this next year, and that focus is about stopping human trafficking, which is rampant throughout our world. Stop the human trafficking. It's a big problem, and the Church of God embraced this problem 100 years ago when a lady was led by the Holy Spirit to go to India and help to be a finger in the dike, if you would, of trying to stop human trafficking in the poorest of places. Places, countries that the families have children, and unfortunately in those countries, girls do not have a high regard. Sons do. But girls are a drag to the economy of the family. And so these human traffickers know that, and they will go to those families and they will promise them, hey, if you will sell us your daughter, we will take her, we will educate her, and we will make her life better. Well, what parent wouldn't fall into that trap, right? And yet, the better life is not what they promise. Instead, these girls, at very young ages, even as young as 10, become sex toys for sick men. Human trafficking. It's a problem. It's rampant in our world, and the Church of God is going to step up its commitment to stop human trafficking and to get those women who have been a part of that out, to give them safe houses to come to and to get out of that life of prostitution. And so, again, just in a nutshell, that's what the National Church of God is, International Church of God is about, and I'm proud to be a part of that. And I hope that we as a church will embrace that focus as well. They are looking for 1,000 churches to give $1,000 to help establish these safe houses in different countries where these women can come to and get out of the life of prostitution and even save some of these children like we're done at the very beginning. Enough said. Thank you. Yeah, we're all in much applaud toward that effort. And it was uniquely embraced by all people there. Getting to today's message, I want you to hear what I'm saying here, because there are some things here that you really need to just pay attention to. After I say these things, you guys can, you know, just go mute button or something and not listen afterwards. But I want you to hear these first few things. What you and I are in Christ and what we are in ourselves are sometimes many worlds apart. To be in Christ is to be saved once and forever from the condemnation of sin, but not immediately from the presence and inworking of sin. We are saved from the guilt and power of sin, but not from its presence while in this body and in this world. The lack of sin's presence will happen when our bodies are redeemed on Resurrection Day. Christ had our sin put upon him, though there was no sin in him. Therefore, he that is in Christ does not have sin upon him, though he still has sin in him, in the form of a sinful nature. Hence, this is our battle as Christians, as those who declare Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Though we have been saved from our sins, we still have the sin nature that wants to draw us away from the promises of God and try to give us promises of a better life. It doesn't happen. The world cannot offer you the life that God offers you. As believers, we are unconditionally saved from sin, and yet conditionally saved from the power of sin. What do I mean? Victory over sin is in proportion to our dedicated obedience to Christ's law. And Christ's law is for us to love God with everything that we are, and to love others as we love ourselves. Thus, the truth of 1 John 4, 7, and 8. That will apply to our lives, where it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love." As we wrap up this portion of Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20 have been a hymn of praise that Paul put in the very first chapter. And it encourages us in verses 19 and 20 that we're going to look at today, which is the wrap-up of these five verses that talks about the supremacy of Christ. Today, we're going to look at Paul's encouragement to look at Christ as the example for knowing God fully. Wouldn't you love to do that? Wouldn't you love to know God fully? And yet our minds are of this world. They're not going to be able to understand all of the things of God. There are ways that God works and things that God does that perplex me at times. I don't know why some children have to die. I don't know why an airplane would be shot out of the sky. But I do know that God is in control. Though the world around us may be in all sorts of chaos, and we can say an amen to that, right? In fact, there are many leaders of our country today that are going, wow, we have never seen the world in more chaos than we are in this past week or two, right? And yet we are not a people who are without hope, because the whole idea of the book of Colossians is what? What's the one main idea? Look on the posters in case you can't remember. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have hope. Why? Because we have Christ in us. Amen? So we are not a world that tumbles around and goes, oh, wow, things are so out of control. Yeah. In man's hands, things are out of control, but they're not out of God's realm of power. And we, as his people, need to intercede for the chaos that's going on around us. We need to seek out the knowledge of God. We need to know what he knows. We need to know God fully. Let me ask you this question. And this is just for you to ponder, not to answer right now. When you first accepted the gift that God gave to all of us, the gift of Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, that his blood was shed for all your sin, and then the promise that eternal life was also done through his resurrection, that death no longer has a hold on us, that we are a people that have been ushered into an eternal life, although we have some temporary circumstances that we are living in right now. In fact, there's a sign in Shirley's office. You might want to go into our office someday and see this. It says, we are spiritual beings going through an earthly existence. You see, God has called you and I into this wonderful relationship with him. And we are to become spiritually led people, not just people that act and react to the things of this world. Rather, we act by the knowledge that we have that God is in control and that we have a hope because of Christ in us. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, the end of this wonderful hymn of praise. And it says what? For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. There are some things that we need to look at in these two verses. One, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. So your first fill-in that's on the inside of your bulletin, if you want to take that out and write these answers in, is this. God has completely revealed himself in Jesus. You want to know God more fully? Know Jesus and what he did. Study his life. See what he did while he was on this earth and what he accomplished. God has completely revealed himself in Jesus. John 14, verses 7 to 11. These are the words from Jesus himself. And it says what? If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, none of us are old enough to have seen Jesus, but we have seen the evidence of Jesus in our life. Amen? Because the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you said, okay, I'm going to follow your ways. I've made enough mistakes in my life. And now I need to have your full power, your full wisdom in what my life should represent today. You've given him lordship, and so you no longer make choices based upon your knowledge, your wisdom. Instead, you make choices based upon God. You know me. You created me. What do you want me to do today? And that's the type of relationship that God wants with you. He's the Father. You are the child. Did any of you as a child ever go up to your father and tell your father what you were going to do? How did that work out for you? Dad, I'm going to do this. And Dad would look at you and go, really? You think you're going to do that? How are you going to do that? In fact, I loved it. My grandson, Landon, 9 years old, he's up here, and I got to bum around with him on Tuesday morning because Grandma was otherwise busy, and she couldn't watch him. So I got the privilege of hanging out with my 9-year-old grandson. And so I knew that one of the things that would just really lighten him up would be, let's go look at motorcycles. Ugh. Right? Now, Grandpa's thinking, hey, I need another motorcycle ride. And so Grandpa's looking for himself, but he spots this little bike. He gets on it. It fits him just perfect. I'm seeing all sorts of tragedy. And he's like, Grandpa, if I had this, I could ride this to school and back. I looked at him and said, Grandson, that's a nice thought, but no, that's not going to happen. As it was a price tag, say on it. It's only $700, Grandpa. It's a $700 for me to get my head just chewed off by your mom. And besides that, you don't have a driver's license. I had to try to explain to the 9-year-old why he couldn't drive this thing on city streets. Besides that, he would just be a little smashed unit that, you know, no car would be able to see, and they'd probably run him over. So there are things that we might think we should be doing, like my grandson thought he could be riding a motorcycle on the streets. And me as the older, wiser person, knowing the laws of the land, I was able to educate my grandson as to why that was not going to happen. Besides, Grandpa was not going to spend $700 on him when I don't have a bike. Just saying. God has completely revealed himself in Jesus. How well do you know Jesus? Let me ask you, from the day that you stopped and you accepted him as the one that forgave your sins, and you made him Lord, you made him the one in charge, how much have you grown in your knowledge of him since then? If you've known him for 5 years, since that time that you accepted him, how much more have you grown in your knowledge of God? Because I'll tell you what, I've been studying God's word for a number of years. And I am amazed at how God just continues to reveal himself to me in more and more ways. And my heart and my mind are being fixed more on his truth rather than the things that I think need to go on in life. God has completely revealed himself in Jesus. If you'd really known me, you would know who my Father is. Secondly, second thing I want you to get out of this verse, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth. God has established a way of peace with man. God has established a way of peace with man. You are either living in peace with God today, or you are his enemy. And you know what? God is so sovereign that he allows you to make that choice. He allows us to make the choice about what our future is going to be, that which he has promised? Or are you listening to what the world will promise you? God has established a way of peace with you and with me. Look at Romans 5, verse 1. What does it say? Since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Now please understand that peace with God does not refer to a mere feeling of tranquility, but to a real position of peace where the hostilities between God and sinful man are put to an end. I mean, after all, when you responded to the call of God in your life and you knelt down and you said, Lord, I'm just really tired of doing life my way. And I accept what you have done for me. And Lord Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. Would you please forgive me? On that day, you entered into a relationship of peace with God. Through faith, you knelt there and you said those words, faith, that God would forgive you if you would but just ask forgiveness. Amen? And you spoke those words, you acted in that way, and you knew. I mean, you got up knowing God had forgiven your sins. And what a day that was, right? You felt at peace with God. I'm no longer fighting God's will. Instead, I'm walking in continuity with what he wants, with his desires, with his will for my life. Right? And you felt good. You had this peace that just came over you, and not only peace, you had this great joy. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, it was like, oh, I'm free. I'm free from the debt of sin because Jesus paid my debt. And yet, I still had this battle. When I got up from that altar, when I got up from that peace, and I started to walk out of that building, the world came at me with a hammer. And the world wanted to remind me of who I was and what I had done. And you can't possibly think that little act, because that's all that was before God, that was just a little act there, Don. You know? And I had to turn around and say, it was not an act. By faith, I believed Jesus Christ died for me. And I am no longer responsible for my sin because he paid it all. And I've been set free. You can't put those sins on me anymore. But I will walk today and now and forever as a child of God. I am a child of God. And I will not let you destroy the peace that's between me and my God. And yet I want you to understand, we have an enemy that knows your weak spots. He knows where to attack you in your thoughts or in your deeds, and he will bring that to you. And he'll bring it to you in spades, because he does not want any of us to walk victoriously. Instead, he wants us all to fall to his kingdom. You see, isn't that the great parallel? We can either fall to the kingdom of darkness, or we can rise to the King of light. Amen? And the choice is ours. God has given it to us. Keep that peace between you and God. It's not a mere feeling of tranquility, but a position of peace where the hostilities between God and you are put to an end. God has established that way. We didn't establish it. God established it. For he so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever puts their faith and belief in him shall what? What's the promise? They'll not perish, but they'll have what? Everlasting life. Eternal life begins the day you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are no longer bound to this world. My home is not this world. Therefore, the circumstances and the things that surround me, yeah, they might bother me a lot, but I put my mind instead on where my true home is. And that won't ever be destroyed or stolen, because God keeps it. Amen? And he keeps me. So, the question then comes up. What disrupts our peace with God? And the answer to that is our choices. Our choices. What disrupts our peace with God? Since God has established a way of peace with us, what disrupts our peace with God is our choices. Ephesians 4, verses 22 and 4. Read it with me. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, but to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That does not make us God, but it puts us in his righteousness, in his holiness. We are made right because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Since we go back to Romans 5:1, we've been made right in God's sight by faith. Amen? So what disrupts our peace with God? It's our different choices. Any of you ever made some silly mistakes before God, and it's like you knew it, that you were not doing the thing that was going to be pleasing God, and yet you went ahead and did it anyway? And then afterwards, you felt dirty, didn't you? Well, I hope you did. God hopes you do. Because, you see, he wants his kids to be clean, to be righteous, to be right before him, to be holy. God is holy. And you can't be in God's presence and be holding sin in your life, be holding on to it. You got to let go of it. You got to let go of the former way that you used to live before Jesus. And instead, you've got to live in a new life with Jesus. And that means giving him control of who you are. Paul wrote the Ephesians, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put it off. How many of you need to put off your old way of life? Why? Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. And Christ can't live and refuses to live in a dirty home. But what he needs is he needs to have you put that welcome mat out and say, you know what, Jesus, come into my house and clean it up. You know what, when you give God that invite to to come in and clean up your life, then he will empower you through his word to put away those old ways of life and to accept the new ways of what his thinking is. What does God desire for you? Because he created you. He knit you together in the womb. I love the fact that my granddaughter is going to have a granddaughter, or have a daughter, sorry. It will be my great-granddaughter, first ever. Not that I wanted it, because it makes me feel really old. But then I think, you know what? I'm not old. It's Suzanne's fault. I just married into the family. So I'm still young, and I will pay for that later. Somebody get me a shovel. I'm digging deeper. What disrupts our peace with our wife is our choices. What disrupts our peace with God is our choices. Choose you this day whom you will serve, as Joshua said. Whether it be the idols of this world or God. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Make that declaration before him. Make it before your home. Make it before your family. That as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Lastly, knowing God is more than mastering facts and information about him. You see, if that's all you do is you just master facts and information about him, that's a formula of religion. Well, if I just follow these few things that I know and I can say an answer to these things, those are facts, it's information, it's religion. God doesn't like religion. That may shock some of you. But God doesn't want religion. God wants relationship. He doesn't want you in formal things that other men tell you that you're supposed to do. God wants you to walk in step with him in true spiritual alignment. And the only way that you can do that is to continue to ask for more of the Holy Spirit's power in your life to show you, to direct your life. Knowing God is more than mastering facts and information about him. Look at the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verses 3 and verse 6. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. 3 John, verse 11. Dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil does not know God. It spells it out for us, doesn't it? God wants us to live a life that is pleasing unto him. And when we live a life that's pleasing unto God, you will know God fully. There won't be a question in your mind. You will live at peace with God. And no circumstances can disrupt that peace with you. And you can walk victorious knowing that not only does the Father love you so much that he'd send his Son, not only does the Son love you so much that he would die for your sins and go to a grave but then be resurrected by the power of his Father, but that you also have this promise given to all who will believe that his Holy Spirit, the presence of God Almighty, will live in you and will help you with that battle between being a spiritual person and being a person of the flesh. Being a spirit-aligned person with God and his will, or following your wishes and your desires. God gives you the choice. And he's wanting for for you to make the right one. But he won't pound you into it. The choice is yours. Who is your life going to be for? As for me and my house, I'm going to declare I'm a child of God. Loving Heavenly Father, you invite us not into a right religion. Religions are made up by man, Lord. You know that that happens. They set up creeds and they set up different belief systems. But Father, you invite us into a walking, talking relationship, much like Adam had with you in the garden. That every day we just commune with you. We talk with you, and you get to talk with us. Oh, Father, may we desire that more than the things of this world. Because of the things of this world, according to your word, are all going to burn up and not be for anything. But the things that we do for you and your kingdom, according to your word, we're going to be rewarded for. So may we declare today that I am a child of God.